Now, Desiree Helgers brings audio highlights from the June 4th rally in Pioneer Courthouse Square in support of the Children's Trust climate justice lawsuit, Juliana versus United States. The landmark case being argued in front of the Federal Court of Appeals for the Ninth Circuit asserts the youth plaintiff's right to an habitable planet and that the plaintiffs are being deprived of their rights to life, liberty, property, and public trust resources by federal government acts that knowingly destroy, endanger, and impair the unalienable climate system that nature endows. City Commissioner Joanne Hardesty opens the rally.
One of the things that old folks like me forget is how often young people have led movements in this country. Every single one has been led by young people that have drawn a line in the sand and said, no way, no more, not in my name. Know that I am so proud, A, to be a part of this fabulous gathering, and B, to know that young people, as they have always done, will stand up when they get tired of hearing about our excuses about why we're not acting. They will stand up, they will be clear, and they will demand action. What do we want? Justice! When do we want it?
Now.
What do we want?
Justice!
When do we want it?
Now.
Love you all!
Thank you, Joanne, for standing in solidarity with the youth plaintiffs. We are going to now watch the live stream, and we will hear Julia Olson, Chief Legal Counsel for the 21 plaintiffs and their fight for climate recovery, argue against Jeffrey Clark, lawyer for the government defendants, as they try to deprive the youth of their constitutional rights to a climate system capable of sustaining human life. These arguments are expected to last approximately 45 minutes, so enjoy silk screening, meet with your friends, enjoy the art, and we'll get back together shortly. Now I'd like to acknowledge an amazing supportive community of faith in Portland that has come out in support of this case, Rabbi Benjamin Barnett of Havara Shalom.
How are we adjusting our lives and our impact on this world so that the children and grandchildren of this generation and of generations on will be able to survive and thrive on the earth? That question, that challenge is what I receive from my tradition and what I believe is asked of us from all spiritual traditions. It should not take our being called to task by our children's generation to have us recognize the consequences of our actions and inaction.
Robin White, an incredible Cheyenne Lakota artist. He's a native rights, environmental, labor, and human rights organizer who will lead us with a blessing. Thank you, Robin.
Thank you, everyone. I picked this blessing because I think it's important that we realize that we do not have dominion over the earth. The Great Spirit and Unchimaka for the winged people, the finned people, and the four-legged people who give us housing, give us shelter, give us food, and give us companionship and beauty all around us. I especially thank them for the water. Niwichone, water is life. It's our first medicine, our most important medicine. Great Spirit, thank you. Great Spirit, bless these people and their endeavors, and please help those judges make the right decision. Thank you.
Bill Gregory, co-counsel in the Juliana lawsuit.
This is what democracy looks like. I believe there will be climate justice. It will be swift and it will be sure. There is so much at stake here. We definitely have a climate right capable of sustaining human life. That is what this court will find, and that is how we will all prevail. We must remember that it is our Constitution that the judges were looking at today. And they said there is convincing evidence of injuries. There's convincing evidence that this Congress, that this administration is doing nothing but putting the foot on the accelerator of fossil fuels. these violations require a science-based remedy, and that is why this case is ready to go to trial right now.
Yeah.
The evidence is clear. The science is unmistakable. We must go to trial, and these judges are going to let this case go to trial. And there's one force behind our trial team, one inspiration, who today put all of her knowledge, put all of her passion on the line. She's a remarkable lawyer. She's someone I am proud to serve as co-counsel with. Please, please give it up for Julia Olson.
We have an amazing legal team at our Children's Trust, and I can't tell you the number of hours that the whole team has put into making this possible. And we do all of this for these 21 young people, but also for all young people out there. All of you. And all generations to come. And what I said to the court today is, for them to dismiss this case, they'd have to find that in the Fifth Amendment of the U.S. Constitution, you don't have a right to life or liberty. Personal security is out the window. Your family autonomy is gone. And truth and justice will prevail over the lies of the government in this case. And thank you so much for being here.
So next, I want to introduce one of the youth plaintiffs on this lawsuit. Levi, he is the youngest plaintiff on the Giuliana case. He grew up and he still lives on a small barrier island off of Florida, and he's going to tell us a little bit about how he got involved and what this case means to him.
Thank you. I am 11 years old, and I turned 12 this summer. This case filed in 2016, a little after I turned 8. It's been 4 years since I got involved with this case. That's literally one third of my life that I have dedicated to this lawsuit, fighting for my future. I'm only 11 years old, and that means I still have a long time left to live on this planet. I have a long time left to deal with the consequences of climate change. And I am still a kid. My constitutional rights are being violated even more than older people who won't be around to see the effects of climate change. Woo! And we only have a little time left to put a science-based climate recovery plan into place. A plan that will return CO2 levels to less than 350 parts per million and limit global warming to 1 degree Celsius before it is too late. I live on a barrier island. That means I can go to the beach or see the sunset over lagoon. I can watch dolphins, turtles, and manatees, and I can go barefoot all year round. It is a beautiful place to live. It's got the ocean on one side and the Indian River Lagoon on the other. It is only about a mile wide and sits close to the sea level. That means I am completely surrounded by water. When a hurricane is coming to Florida, they may announce a mandatory evacuation for my island. That means everyone on the island has to go someplace else. That means I have packed my favorite books, taped up the windows, sandbagged the door, and left. After sitting through the hurricane, we wait till the power comes back on and the streets are clear enough to return home, hoping everything will be okay. Hurricane season started on June 1st, and I have to think about the possibility of the same thing happening again. Storms are happening more often. Storms are getting more severe. Storms are producing more rain. And being almost at sea level, that means the risk of flooding is high. In fact, just a few weeks ago, it rained. Just a short little rainstorm. The street by my library was flooded up to my knees. And it wasn't even a hurricane. The Constitution says that I have a right to life, liberty, and property. How am I supposed to enjoy life, liberty, and property if one day the island that I live on will be underwater? That is violating my constitutional rights. I am just a kid who cares about where I live. I am just a kid who cares about what my future on this planet will be like. I am just a kid who cares about my constitutional rights. Thank you.
Now we have Vic Barrett from New York City. Vic is a fellow with the Alliance for Climate Education and an active climate movement organizer in his community. Vic focuses working on climate justice issues and has presented about these issues around the globe, including at the United Nations. Let's give it up for Vic.
What's happened here today and what's been happening with youth climate movements around the world is part of a larger narrative. It's a story that's going to exist throughout human times as the moments where we've decided what we are. What it is to be young is being redefined every day. It's always been a time of change and growth and discovery, and now it's all about that and more. It's about laying down the groundwork to ensure a healthy world. It's no longer just planting the roots of who you'll be, it's planting the roots of what our world will be, if it'll still really be our world. We spent another day in court facing our government, the apparent strongest government in the world, showing fear of young people and showing fear of facts. We're learning every day that we're the ones who must secure our future. We must do the work. We must take to the streets. Being young is being an activist today. And cheering each other on. So I want my 2 cents today to be dedicated to the youth who showed up, not just to the youth who are up here. Thank you for the sacrifices I know you're making every single day when you wake up, for the school days missed, for the moments on the bus where all of a sudden you're like, damn, climate change is a terrible issue. I just want to tell you, keep going even when it seems like you can't, when everything is telling you to stop, because we have all the power, we have all the tools, and we have all the stake in this issue. As long as we're reminding our leaders who they work for, as long as we keep screaming at them what we need, no one can ever tell us that we didn't do every single thing we can to ensure a future for us and our children. Thank you.
I have the pleasure of introducing the named plaintiff in the Giuliano lawsuit, Kelsey Giuliano herself, a leading voice in the burgeoning youth climate movement. Kelsey's been participating in climate activism since she was 10 years old.
This case is about all of us. This time is about all of us. And it is so much more. Is about fundamentally establishing stable climate system, a future, a livable future, a future of dignity as a constitutional right. It's about ensuring for my children and their grandchildren that they will be able to exist. As young people in this case, we rely on experts. We rely on experts who are willing to give their time, their devotion to us. But in 1988, Dr. James Hansen testified in Congress about the critical, the dire effects of rising CO2 levels. Even though our federal government in 1965, they released a memo saying that if we don't really dramatically curb our carbon emissions, we can look at 10 feet sea level rise and apocalyptic reality. Now, 1988 was also the last year that we saw 350 as that stable marker of CO2 emissions in our atmosphere, which Levi talked about. We have only risen. It's 2019. We have been part of this litigation effort for 4 years now. We are at 415 parts per million of CO2 in the atmosphere. That has never been there in human history, and that is unacceptable. I've been doing this work since I was 10 years old. I'm 23 years old. We have until Levi, the youngest plaintiff in this case, is my age, to dramatically address climate change and get ourselves on climate stability track according to the IPCC. We are bringing this case in front of the justice branch because this case is about an incredible injustice that has prevailed in this country long before any of us and even our parents were born. But this case is about all of us branching together. We cannot be here if it's not for the grassroots movement. We cannot be here if it's not for the people that we are representing. Today in court, the defendant said that when faced with, and I quote, a direct threat to life, the appropriate response from the government of the United States elected by, for, and of the people is to just re-elect members, re-elect decision makers. So what I have to say to that is, you bet we will. Bet we will. And in the meantime, we're gonna keep pushing this case forward, and we're gonna keep thinking
We're going to keep thanking the other judges at all three levels of courts in the United States who are also seeing the necessary action of this case and the urgency of this case, and we're continuing to put this case forward. And we're going to keep on relying on you all to keep showing up and doing the work in your own communities and doing the work that is right to you, whether it be music or art or activism or writing or running for office yourself so I can elect you. Keep showing up, and we're going to do it together. Kez, what does democracy look like?
You've been listening to voices from the June 4th Portland rally in support of Juliana v. United States, the landmark Children's Trust climate justice lawsuit. This has been Desiree Helligers for the Omal Variety Hour.